All right, Curry. So the first thing I wanted to ask you, man, I saw that you were down at the Streamer Bowl in Miami. How did you guys finish down there? You know, how was that going? What was that like?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We ended up coming in third place and made $60,000 combined for our charity. So it was a good turnout, and we placed pretty well. We had first place in the bag until the last game. They were running out of time, and they like kind of changed the rules on us a little bit. So it was just kind of whoever got the best weapons was going to win. So besides that last game, everything turned out really well, and we played how we wanted to.
I got you, man. Yeah, so I thought you were playing with Aiden. What charity were you guys playing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he did his charity. I'm not sure. I don't remember which one it was, but I did for the Cape Coral Animal Shelter and then a women's home in Cape Coral, Florida as well, where I'm from.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Hey, you know, you do play football at the highest level. You know, you are a national football player. But I got to ask, man, which one do you think you're better at? You think you're a better Fortnite player?
Ooh. I think I'm a better football player. I don't know. I'm pretty good at Call of Duty, but
like,
I think I'm better at Call of Duty than Fortnite, but football, I'm better at football than all of them.
Oh, okay. I got, have you played Rust yet?
I did. I was running it a little bit yesterday. It was a lot of fun. Bringing back good nostalgia.
Hey, I'll text you after this with my gamer tag if you're on Xbox. I'll link up with you on that.
Perfect. Sounds good.
Like, but do you think, like, after your football career is over, like, you mm-hmm. get into, like, the pro video game and stuff, you know, play as a pro there?
I think I could, especially, like, if I really took the time and, like, got into Call of Duty how I used to when I was in high school, I could. But I think I'd rather get into coaching or something after football and just kind of stay around the game.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. Well, I guess we can transition over to some football stuff. You know, you had an injury last year that cost you, you know, the whole season. Is that fully healed? You're ready to go, you know, for all-season workouts and stuff?
Yeah, I actually got cleared right as the season was ending, so it was kind of perfect timing for me to be able to get into, like, my all-season routine and just kind of hit the ground running and then build up, like, a little bit at a time and I have to rush back into things. So it was, as far as, like, the healing part of the injury, it was good timing, but obviously the timing of when it actually happened couldn't have been any worse.
Yeah, man, you were playing well during the preseason. I remember that was kind of
Thank
what you thought all right, man. Yeah, you were scrambling around out there, something we haven't seen. You know, we were calling you Vanilla Vic in the studio, man.
I love it. I love it. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, I gotta ask now, because you did tell on yourself on stream. You did say that you saw the new uniforms. I know you can't give us too much, man, but what do you think, man? How do they look?
I think everybody is super excited about them. I don't think anybody would be disappointed.
All right. So it's not like the Hawks uniforms that we just got that were already about to change after like 2 years.
No Wolverine, right?
I can't say one way or the other. I can just say that I know that everyone will be happy. That's all I can say.
That's really good to hear, because when those Hawks came out, you know, that was absolutely disgusting, and they're already changing those.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think it'll get that reaction at all.
So, you know, obviously you're playing mostly on contract without guarantees. What's that like going into each season, kind of not knowing, you know, if you're going to be on a team this year, you know, how much money you're going to make, stuff like that.
It's really difficult, and I think it makes the offseason even more important that you, like, have everything in line for plan A and plan B. But then at the end of the day, you just got to kind of let your talent go and do everything you can to make the team. So there's kind of two sides to it, but there's definitely uncertainty. But I think as most guys, like, we all believe in ourselves and that we'll do what we need to do to make the team. And if not here, it'll be somewhere else. So I'm not really too concerned about it. I feel like I was just kind of hitting stride a little bit, and I've still learned a lot, even in this season of being injured. So I'm excited to see where I can pick up and just kind of keep rolling with what I was doing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a long season. You know, last year, for example, we saw guys like Gardner Minshew, Duck Hodges step up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you primed? Are you ready for that moment if God forbid something happened to Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I definitely will be ready for that moment. It's kind of like, it's encouraging seeing guys like that. There's so many young guys last year that had to play more so than years prior. And I think it just kind of shows that, like, there are people that are ready to step up, regardless of the situation you're in, no matter how long someone's been there. Like, there's guys that can play in the league that just don't get the opportunity to. And I think that this past season showed that young guys can get it done, too.
Yeah, I don't remember if y'all were there at the same time. Were you and Gardner at Eastern Carolina at the same time?
So he actually, when I transferred out of ECU to Virginia, he was the one who came in to fill the spot.
Oh,
so it was just, okay. I was leaving and he came in.
I got
it. Okay. Well, speaking of Virginia, you keep up with the basketball team a lot there? Obviously.
I do, especially during March Madness. I did early in the year, and then I kind of haven't really paid attention. I'll pick back up when March Madness comes around.
Yeah, because obviously we drafted as the Hawks, and that's being 4th.
Yeah.
drafted DeAndre Hunter last year. He was kind of the hero, one of the heroes, along with Kyle Guy last year.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the opportunity to, like, meet him, like, now that you're both in Atlanta or maybe back in Virginia or something?
I've met him before at Virginia, but I've actually never run into him here down in Atlanta. And I don't really – I live, like, north of Atlanta by, like, 45 minutes to an hour, so I'm not really down there a whole lot except for game days. But people at Virginia love him, Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome too. So those guys really kind of help put UVA basketball back on the map on a bigger stage, and hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, ask you a few questions about the, you know, Virginia football program here, because I'm actually an Alabama guy, but, you know, I watched a lot of Virginia games last year, probably more than half of them, was very impressed with what Bronco Mendenhall has done with that team. Can you just kind of talk about, I know he kind of came in the around the same time you did, you know, what he kind of changed around that program?
So he came in and was there for the spring before I got there, and then I transferred him in, and I was, like, the first starter under him. And it's just crazy because our first season we had so many guys leave because they didn't like what he was doing, his philosophy. Like, things were hard. Like, and he didn't really care about winning the first year, and he would rather have the right people and the right guys playing than people that he didn't want to have there that didn't want to buy in and didn't want to work hard. So, like, honestly, it was not fun. Like, the reward at the end of the tunnel, like when we started winning and like started seeing the program change, like that was the fun part. But like the work that we put into it, like it was not easy. It was not fun, but it was obviously well worth it now that they're rolling. So it's just cool to see, like, I was there when like the bricks were being laid, and now just as each new class comes in there, like they're just getting better. So it's exciting to see the success of the program and people buying into what hard work means and just kind of doing it different and more old fashioned than most places.
Yeah, one thing I really took away from watching them this year is I was really impressed by their wide receiver duo, Joe Reed and Jesus Dubois. Came away really impressed with those guys. I know that they were there around the same time.
They were both freshmen.
Yeah, I think they both kind of bring a unique skill set that can help them, you know, play in the NFL down the road here. Can you just talk about those two guys?
Yeah, so Joe Reed is like a horse. He's built like Adrian Peterson, like back in the day. Like, he's a monster. He's a freak of nature. And obviously he was the number one like kickoff returner in, I think, ACC football history, but I know he was number one in the country this past year and maybe the year prior. But like that, like that's his thing. Like, kick returns, like he's going to play in the NFL and be a kick returner, and it'll be like that. He'll be good at it. And then he played quarterback in high school, and they ran Joe Reed power right and Joe Reed power left, and that's what they did in high school. So him to transition to a receiver and be a really good receiver at the college level was awesome to see. And I think that that's still a part of his game that he hasn't even, like, scratched the surface of what he can be as a receiver. So I could see him playing a bunch of different roles as, like, a gadget guy on offense and still lining up in the slot and, like, doing what he needs to do. But he's definitely got a huge upside athletically, and he'll bring a lot of value to special teams. Hassis has the best hands that I've seen of probably anybody that I've played with. He doesn't drop anything. He's got really strong hands. Like, he's a big dude too. I don't know if he's 6'2 or 6'3, whatever his height is, but he's like 220, 225. He's just a solid guy, and he's really kind of like transformed his body from the time he was a freshman to his senior year, just with like muscle mass and stuff. So, like, he can run all the routes. He's not, like, going to blaze you, like, downfield, but he has such good body control that he can catch a fade on anybody. He can go up. He can box you out. Like, he can do a lot of different things. And if the ball comes near him, he's not going to drop it. So I think there's so much value to be had in that type of receiver in the NFL right now, especially as teams try to get better in the red zone. So I think I'm excited to see where those two guys go this year. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a deep class, but I definitely think that there's a place for both those guys in the NFL. I actually saw a stat that out of every FBS receiver, Dubois was the only one with over 100 targets, no drops. I do want to ask you about one more guy. I'm actually writing an article right now about some cornerbacks that I think can really help this Falcons secondary. And, yeah, I'm a big Bryce Hall fan. I think he could really help out. What do you think about having him in black and red? Do you think that would really help this team?
I think he'd be a huge asset. He fits this defensive scheme too. I know, like, back in when I was at Virginia, he played also as a freshman when I was a junior, and his first game was against Duke, and he picked off Daniel Jones like two or three times by himself. and they were all on fade balls that it was the rookie or the freshman guy, like, we're going to take a shot on him, and he, like, did not stand down, and he hasn't his entire career. And I think that you'd see him as a top 10 pick if he doesn't get hurt this year, but he'll still probably go in the first round from what I'm reading. But he's just – he's tall. He's long. Like, he's always got good body position, and he's just a huge student of the game. Like, he loves the technical side of football more than probably anybody I've been around so far in my, like, short career so far. But I think that, like, if you want a guy that can shut down, like, the number one receiver, then – he's the guy that'll give you the best chance with his, like, skill set and length and stuff. And he's not slow either. Like, he's a big dude, and he can run and he can open up. So I'm excited to see what he does. He's going to be really good.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of a guy we got on the roster already. Looks a lot like Isaiah Oliver out there with just the gangly arms. You know, he's just a
yeah.
One last thing I did want to ask, man. We are big on Matt Ryan. We are not in the camp of Matt Ryan is the Falcons' problem. I know we have a lot of fans.
Thank God.
For some reason, think that. Yeah, exactly. What does Matt mean to you, man? You know, I know you guys have only spent, you know, pretty much a season together in the locker room, but what have you meant so far in your young career?
Yeah, him and both Shab, like, both of those guys have been really helpful for me. And when I first got here, like, I didn't know anything about footwork. Like, in college, I was just a gunslinger running around. Like, I knew the plays. I knew, what the defense was trying to do. But as far as, like, technically, like, playing quarterback, like, I didn't know how to do it. So getting here and, like, getting under two guys that have done it so well for so long, and then we also have a really good quarterback coach that kind of has helped, like, a whole lot in other aspects. But those two guys have helped me develop my game and basically cut off, like, the learning curve and how long it would have taken me without them. So I'm really thankful for both of them. And, as like, Matt Ryan, like, he does it the same way every single week. Like, it does not matter if it was a good game last week, a bad game last week. Like, he prepares like it's a fresh slate every single week. And it's pretty impressive. Just, I've never obviously been around anybody, so seeing how he does it, like, I'm really fortunate to be so young in my career and see the right way to do it.
Absolutely, man. You know, we're very big Matt Ryan guys. You know, we're mm-hmm. on the Matt Ryan, the Hall of Famer train. We love the guy so much. You know, it's great to hear that he is taking an interest in you. But yeah, man, I think that's about all we got, man. We really do appreciate you coming on and, you know, letting the fans get to know you. And we're definitely going to be cheering for you this season. No offense.
Awesome.
Hopefully we don't have to see you too much if Matt Ryan.
Exactly. That's what we want. We want to hope that I don't touch the field and that Matt can just take us to the Super Bowl. That's what we all want.
And then maybe you'll be the Nick Foles of the playoff run. You know.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, but thanks a lot, Kirk. Thanks a lot.
No problem, guys. No problem. Have a good one.